I would like us to turn to John 15. Turn in your Bibles, although I didn't check which one you put first. Yep, that's where we're starting. John 15. And our text is verses 1 through 8, but we'll read verses 1 through 17. John 15. Verses 1 through 17. This is God's Word. Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commands, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends, if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another." Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, Christ's goal, Christ's purpose for your life and my life as Christians is very simple and very clear. Look at verse 8 of John 15. "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples." What's your purpose as a Christian? It's to glorify God the Father by bearing much fruit. Much good fruit for the Lord. And it's so easy for us to be distracted from this purpose with all the hustle and bustle and madness and muddle of life. I was thinking of that driving on our way here. We're heading for Toronto from Strathroy. And you got all these signs on the road to help you reach your destination or your goal. Toronto. 200 and so many kilometers. Exits here, exits there. No, that's not the exit. Kilometer signs, speed limit signs, right? Guys, all help you towards your goal. Then you also have signs that are distractions. Get COVID tested. Fight COVID. And after about three of those signs, you start to feel like you've got COVID. And then you want to turn off and take your temperature, right? Well, that's a little bit what life is like. All these distractions from real life to pull you off the road of bearing fruit to the glory of God through the work of Jesus Christ. And so we want to refocus on our main purpose in life. Again, it's simple, but it's also easy to let that get lost, isn't it? Very easy to let that get lost with paying the bills and dealing with all the troubles and problems and fears and worries. So let's refocus and as Christians, take hold of this goal that we bear much fruit. Take hold of our purpose for life in Christ. First, we want to see the gift of life. That gift that allows us to bear good fruit. Jesus says in John 15, verse 1, I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it might bear more fruit. The power to bear good fruit for God in your life. And we'll look at the good fruits later, especially loving Jesus' commands and loving one another. But the power to bear good fruit in your life does not come from within yourself. For by nature we're dead and we bear only evil fruit. A bad tree cannot bear good fruit. And a thistle cannot bear grapes, Jesus said. And within ourselves we cannot bear good fruit. We need a life source. We need to be connected to a life source that is outside ourselves. And that's Jesus, the true vine. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser, every branch in me. Very simple. It's the only way that we can bear good fruit. Only way the fruit of the Spirit can begin to show up in your life. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Is to be connected to the true vine, Jesus Christ. And that's the good news of this passage. The Father, because we cannot bear good fruit in ourselves, we're dead. We're dead branches. The Father has planted in this world His true vine, His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and taken us as dead branches and grafted us into His Son so we can take in Jesus' sap, the life that He has won for us by dying on the cross, to pay for our sins and to destroy the old man of sin and rising again on the third day to give us new life by tying us into that true vine, Jesus Christ. We have life. This is one of the seven I ams in the book of John where Jesus says, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth and the life. I am the true vine. You recognize those first two words? I am. I am. Jesus is the God who visited Moses at the burning bush. And God calls Moses to go to Pharaoh, to go to Israel and say, I'm going to deliver you from Egypt. And they're going to ask, Moses says to God, but they're going to ask me, who are you? Who sent you? Who do I say that you are? And God says to Moses, tell them that my name is I am who I am. And that's the name by which I'm to be remembered forever. And then he describes that name. I am is the one, the powerful one, the one who keeps his promises, the faithful one, the loving, merciful, compassionate God who's going to come down and save you from slavery, bring you out and bring you to myself. That's Jesus. Jesus is the I am. The eternal God, the I am, who's been planted in this world now as the true vine. Because the vine in the Old Testament didn't do well. Who was the true vine? Or who was the vine in the Old Testament? Israel, right? Psalm 80, Ezekiel 17. Isaiah 5. Israel was God's vine, planted, fertilized with the Word of God, prophets, priests, and kings to bear good fruit, and they failed. And God chopped off the vine. But now the true vine comes. Where Israel failed, Jesus prevailed. And He is the source of life for dead sinners. I am spiritually dead by nature. I am cursed. I'm a law-breaking, rotten person. But God in His mercy has taken me, planted us in His Son, and Jesus, His Son, shares His life with us and makes us new people. What a wonderful gift. Christ has come from the Father to give true life to this world. And everyone who believes in Jesus has been born again. You've been powerfully brought into Jesus Christ, grafted into this vine. And now you're in Jesus, like a branch connected to a living, fruitful vine. You're alive in Christ. And anytime you see you lack fruit, you lack patience, joy, you're fretting too much, you're worrying too much, you're not trusting enough, you don't go to yourself and say, "Self, put on some more joy." You go to Christ and say, "Christ, help me to rejoice in the Lord always. Take away my worries, fears, and frettings and paranoia. Show me that I'm safe in You." He's the source. What if you have no good fruit in your life and you're still dead in your sin? And the only love that you have in your life is to pursue your own pleasures and live your own way. The answer for you is simple. There's good news. Come to Jesus that you might have life and have it abundantly. That's the source of true life. Again, in a world where there's so many distractions to take you off the pathway of glorifying God, that's why He saved you, by bearing good fruit. Remember the source of life. Go back to that source constantly. Seek the Lord. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't lose sight of who you are as a Christian in Him, alive, and what your purpose is in Him. To bear good fruit, to bear much fruit. Don't let anything distract you from that focus. I think of the parable of the soils. There's that one seed planted in the good soil that bore good fruit. Some 30, 60, 100 fold. Why did the other seed not bear good fruit? Remember? Distracted by the persecutions and troubles of this world. Distracted by the deceitfulness of wealth. The anxieties of life. Just normal everyday stuff. That's what keeps us from bearing good fruit. But focusing on who the true vine is and who we are in Him. And if we don't bear good fruit, there's a warning. Every branch in me that does not bear good fruit, the Father cuts off, takes away, and throws in the fire and burns it. And pretending to be a Christian, just outwardly connected to the vine, because there are branches outwardly connected to the vine that do not bear good fruit. Just pretending to be a Christian is not going to save you from the fire. But if you are bearing fruit for Jesus, the fruits of repentance, faith, striving to keep His commandments, and looking for ways to serve and love your neighbor, here's what's going to happen. You see again in verse 2, every branch in me that bears fruit, my Father, the vine dresser, prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You ever pruned a bush? Ever pruned a fruit tree? If I prune, I just take off a little bit on the, I don't want to hurt the tree. My wife prunes, she cuts the thing right down to the ground. There's nothing left of the thing. But her pruning job does a better job than mine, because next year that thing comes out better than ever. And mine's not doing so well. That's how the Father prunes His children. He takes His knife and He prunes you, cuts off those extra branches, those useless branches, so that you bear more fruit. Christians that are bearing the most fruit often face the most hardships, because God is working on you. Don't assume that because God sends you pain, He must be punishing you. Rather, believe that when God sends you pain, dear believer, He's pruning you, so you bear more fruit. He does light pruning sometimes. He does heavy pruning sometimes, where He cuts the branches way back. But pruning means taking those extra branches that are getting in the way of a productive Christian life. A bad habit may be getting in the way. Pride or lust or temptation might be getting in the way. Perhaps He wants you to pray more. Well, He might prune you by sending you trials to make you more dependent and reliant in prayer. One person said that after he became a Christian and was growing in his faith, suddenly the Lord sent him such a hard time. All his old friends turned their backs on him and rejected him, and he felt so alone. It was painful. But later he saw that these friends were obstacles to his faith and further growth. And the Lord had taken His pruning knife and cut them off. What's God's pruning knife? Verse 3, you are already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. It's the word. Your pastor, Reverend Prasad, preaches. And then that word sometimes feels like a knife. It's supposed to feel that way. Listen to Hebrews. The Word of God is living and active, sharper than a double-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. That's God's pruner. The pruner preacher. The Word. And that's how He cleans you. It cuts deep, but it yields a great harvest to those who surrender to what the Word says. It hurts. But let it hurt. Because those are the wounds of a friend. Wounds of a God who loves you, and a pastor who loves you, and elders who love you, and friends who love you. Because they want to see you grow. And they want to see the obstacles cut out of your life. So congregation, don't forget the life you have in Jesus. Your life is not found in who forms the next government, believe it or not. Governments don't have that much power. Your life is not found whether or not you can get that job that you're so eager to get. Believe it or not, jobs don't have that much power. Your life is found in Christ, that perfect Lamb of God who died to put your sin to death and rose to give you new life. You have everything. Everything you need to grow spiritually, to thrive, to live abundantly in Jesus. That's the only source. Well, let's look secondly at the growth of that life. First, the gift of that life. The true vine gives you that life. But then how is that life to grow? Look at verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. There you have the word repeated several times. Abide, abide, abide. He says, I'm the vine, true vine. You're the branches. Every branch in me. It's all indicative. Suddenly he goes to the imperative. You're in me. Abide in me. stay connected and drink from me. Not just outwardly, like a dead branch that's not drinking sap from the trunk, but inwardly and spiritually, stay connected to Jesus Christ, the true vine. One commentator writes, the basic idea of abiding in Christ is the active cultivation by every professing Christian of a living spiritual relationship to Christ. The active cultivation by every professing Christian of a living spiritual relationship to Christ. As Paul says, the life I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. You can't bear fruit by yourself. No matter how long you've been a Christian, and no matter how many sermons you've listened to and books you've read, how many times you've read through the Bible, you never get to the spot where you can bear fruit by yourself. Never. Every Christian, older, younger, new Christian, seasoned Christian, must abide. Stay connected. Make use, heavy use of that connection to the vine. That's the idea. Many people think that they can continue to serve the Lord even when they don't have a vital connection to Christ. That's what's happening to North American Christianity today. People are not valuing their relationship to Christ. They're not going to church. They're not coming under the Word. They're not reading their Bibles. They're not praying. But they still somehow think they can be good Christians. But the evidence is in. And Christianity is falling away from Christ. Most Christians today don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God. They're falling away. They live immoral lives. They accept false ways of living. The false doctrine, the false gospel of the LGBTQ community. Christians, churches are falling to that. And they still think that they're Christians. They've lost their saltiness and their light doesn't shine anymore. Beware, that can happen to us. That's why there's this command, abide in me, says Christ. We need to stay connected to the vine together with the other branches. You're not by yourself in the vine, right? I'm the vine, you are the branch. Know what it says? I'm the vine, you are the branches. We need to stay connected to Him together with the other branches. That's the picture here. It's a corporate picture. Abide in me. Stay vitally connected to Jesus. Stay close to His church. It's through His church that He ministers the word of the gospel. The Bible says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Paul says in 1 Timothy 4, until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Exactly then, what is it to abide in the vine? Just look ahead for a moment to verse 7. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. You see how you abide in Christ? You go to His words. It's not just a spiritual feeling of walking with Jesus. Oh, I'm close to Jesus today. That's not abiding in the vine. That might be a totally fake invention within your own heart that's deceiving you. But here is how you abide in Christ. Abide in me. When you abide in me and my words abide in you. Now we have a vital connection. We have eating and drinking Christ. We have growing. We have being built up. We have Christ being formed within us. We have the fruit of the Spirit growing in us. We need especially to drink deeply from the Word of Christ. Because when we abide in Him, He abides in us. Whoever abides in me and I in him, back to verse 5, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Remember Jesus' parable again, where he described the word as the seed of the kingdom. Seed of the kingdom that when it falls on good soil, prepared by the Holy Spirit, yields a crop of 30, 60, even 100-fold. So brothers and sisters, growth doesn't take complication. You can read endless manuals of growth. 12 ways to grow your faith. And then you begin to follow these steps. And suddenly we're not following Jesus, we're following steps and counting on the steps. That's huge in North American religion. 10 steps to improve your spirituality. Now, I'm not saying there's everything wrong with that stuff, but it's not complicated. But it does take dedication to stay in the Word of Christ. Think of it as a series of circles. To stay in the Word of Christ means, first of all, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, the breaking of bread of prayer. That is the ministry of the Word by the church where Christ has put you, through the servants Christ has appointed over you. That's centrally how you feed on Christ. From that center circle, you have your own private and family meditation focus, prayerful focus on the Word each day. Allowing that Word you hear through the church's ministry to grow and percolate in you and make you stronger. It confirms what you hear in the Lord's Day. And then beyond that, you have spiritual conversations and connections where people encourage you in the faith. Word-based conversations. It's not complicated, but it does take dedication, focus. I want to bear good fruit. Then I need to be connected, yielded to Jesus Christ. And to be connected to Him, I need to be in His Word. Because that's how I drink in His sap. That's how His death and resurrection come to life in me more and more. The death of the old self, the life of the new man in Christ. That's how I grow. And that's what makes the Word of Christ so powerful. The Word of Christ is not just the Bible. It's Christ Himself, crucified, risen from the dead. That's power. That's packed into a seed called the Bible. Christ Himself, crucified and risen from the dead, is packed into a seed called the Bible, the infallible Word of God. That's why it's so powerful. It's not the pages, not the ink. It's Christ that makes that Word powerful. The vine is the Word, and the Word is the vine. He comes to live in you. He Himself comes to live in you through the Spirit's power as you feed on Him. It's the workshop. The Word is the workshop of the Holy Spirit. Paul says that, right? When we came to you, 1 Thessalonians, we came not only with the Word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit. In a world that offers you so much that can pull you away from Christ, false teaching, wealth, troubles, only Christ can make you grow. Only Christ can make you fruitful. Did you notice that in verse 5 again? Apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, there's a sense in which apart from Christ, you can do many things. You can get a degree. You can build a company. You can get the highest marks in your class. You can work out and become very fit. You can achieve high positions of worldly power. You can become an accomplished musician. But apart from Jesus Christ, you can accomplish no spiritual good and bear no good fruit that is pleasing to God and blesses and builds the church and extends the kingdom. No matter how many talents, degrees, and how much money you have. That's what Jesus says. It means when he says, apart from me, you can do nothing. Only one life 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Well, we see here the gift of life in Christ the vine, the growth of it. But we want to now finish on the last point, the goal of the Christian life. If anyone, verse 6, does not abide in me, he's cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them, these branches, and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples, and so prove you are my disciples. Here again, the Lord Jesus sets before us the great goal of the Christian life. One of our goals is to be saved, right? It's an important goal, but it's not the ultimate goal. One of our goals is to be saved. Another goal is to persevere in our faith. Important goal, but not the ultimate goal. The highest goal for the Christian, again, very simple, but it's not complicated. To glorify God by bearing good fruit. The highest thing you want to see from your life, I trust, dear believer, is more love, more joy, more peace, more patience, more kindness, more goodness, more faithfulness, more gentleness, more self-control. Many Christians do not actually have that as an active goal. Or at least professing Christians. And they get sidelined into rabbit trails of other things that become too important. And they become warmongers in the church. Let's keep the simple goal before us. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. That's the highest goal. Let's not lose sight of it. It's so easy just to exist. My goal is to get my assignments done, to keep my mom satisfied, my dad off my back. I just want to survive the next thing. Or we can make a goal just to pursue my own self-interest. I want to have an easy life. I want to make lots of money, have a nice house and a nice vacation. Sadly, many who call themselves Christians do not live above that pagan level. That's all there is to that for them. It's all they want out of life. That's not Christian. That's worldliness. By grace you have been saved through faith, Ephesians 2. And this is not from yourselves, it's the gift of God, not by works so that no one can boast. Ephesians 2 verse 10, you know it. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. For what? To do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Wow. What a purpose. We need to wake up every morning to that high and holy purpose and calling God has for us in Christ. I am in Christ, and I am here for God's glory, and that is by bearing much fruit. So I want to bear what? The fruit of repentance, confessing my sins and putting them to death, so that that gets cut off and there's more room for good works in my life. Sin and good works can't grow on the same life, right? One's got to be cut off, cut back for the other to grow. I want to bear the fruit of the Spirit to become more holy in Christ like that. The nine fruit of the Spirit, really, that's the image of Christ. That's who Jesus is. I want to bear the fruit of Christian witness. I want my light to shine so that others may see Christ living in me and hear Christ from my mouth and may also believe and glorify God. I want to bear the fruit of loving Jesus' commands, as he says later. And the fruit of brotherly love, that you love one another, such a big emphasis in Jesus' ministry. A closer connection to the body of Christ and loving one another deeply from the heart, because I'm not alone as a branch in the vine, I belong to the branches. I want to see the whole vine flourish. We'll look at that, Lord willing, from Jude 20 through 23. I want to see the whole vine flourish. And by my fruit to encourage others to bear fruit. I want to be a more loving husband and a more submissive wife and a more obedient child and a more diligent, honest employee. I want my life to show that I'm a child of God, that I'm a disciple of Christ. I'm sick of just living for the bare minimum. Just doing what I can get away with and no more. And I thrive and make the most of every assignment to the glory of God. Make the most of every day to the glory of God and every opportunity to the glory of God. Let us all, singles, married, parents, children, men, women, reclaim, refocus, take hold of Christ's purpose for our lives as branches in the vine. God's will for you is that you bear much fruit. That glorifies Him. That's why He saved you. That's why you're in this world. Does it sound intimidating? Do you doubt that somebody like you, with all your weakness and sin, could really bear fruit for the Lord? The good news is the promise essential to this teaching. If you will but abide in Jesus, He will bear great fruit through you. You may doubt yourself, but don't doubt your Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. The righteous, Psalm 92, the Sabbath psalm. Flourish like the palm tree and grow like a cedar in Lebanon. They're planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of our God. They still bear fruit in old age. They're ever full of sap and green. Some of the greenest, most thriving people are the people that can hardly walk anymore. They're so full of the word of Christ. May God grant us grace to take hold of our purpose so that we also may live more and more to the glory of God.